If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to that portion of God's Word that we read together, Ecclesiastes and the chapter 7. Ecclesiastes and the chapter 7, and our text tonight is the verse 2. This is the commencement of it. It says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart." Let's look to the Lord and ask for his help tonight. Our loving Father in heaven, we pray that thou would bless us around thy word. Lord, we need thy help to listen and to preach thy word. And we pray that thy word tonight will come with power, with clarity to all of our hearts. We pray especially for those who's in without Christ, that they will come and feast on Christ. That they will come tonight, Lord, and taste and see that the Lord is good. We pray you'll close us in with thyself. And we pray, Lord, you'll bless us around thy word now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, "Speaking of God, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And how true these words are, that God and man, they think differently. You think of this in relation to sin. Man would say today that sin is one of the greatest things in this world. He loves sin. He loves to live in his sin. He would say to us that sin will do nobody any harm. It is a wonderful pleasure to have in this life. That's why we read in Job 15, verse 16, "How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water." He cannot get enough of the pleasure of sin. Ah, here's Job, and Job says he drinks it like water. He says it does you no harm. He says it will do you good. It's just really like water. How different is God? Ezekiel 14 and verse 6, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations." And God tells us something different. God says, repent from your sin. And he says, turn away from your abomination. Oh, but man says, our sin is wonderful. Our sin is great. God says, it's only an abomination, and I'm telling you to repent, and I'm telling you to turn from your sin. In Psalm 32, verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." And God says, not man, of course. God says, it's a happy thing for a person if their sins are forgiven and their sins are covered. If they have forsaken their sin and their sin are all forgiven, well, that man is happy. But the world doesn't think that. The world tonight thinks we're all mad because we're in church. They have it all planned out, haven't they? They have their parties, as we'll see. They have their feastings in this Christmas period. And they say, those Christians, they're mad. They're sour. There's no life in them. There's no happiness. There's no joy in their life. But God is so different. And God's word is so different. It's a happy thing to be saved. We've come to an end of a year at God's people, and we're still rejoicing in the Lord and his goodness, what he has done for us. Even think about being successful in this world. The world would say, believe in yourself and be ambitious. And there's nothing wrong with having ambition. But it's how you go about it. Many people, to get what they want in this world, they will lie, they will cheat, they will steal, they will hurt, they will trample over anybody to get in particular position in this world. I say, that's how you do it. This is how it's got to be done. There's no prisoners taken in this at all. If I want to be successful, and if I want to be the top of my place of employment, or of my business, then I've got to be ruthless. Is that right? Look what God says in Matthew 5 and verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It's the meek that will progress with God. In relation to silver, to the riches of the world, man would say to us, that is great to be rich. Money is what makes the world go round. And you know, if you get rich, riches will make you happy. Oh, it is a missing link in our life. If only I could win the pools. If only I could win the lottery. If only someone would leave me a great inheritance. Well, it'd be to solve all my problems. Is that the way you think? To think riches will make you happy? How different is the Word of God? How different are the thoughts of God? Because here in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. It's empty. It's foolishness. It is nothing. Here is Solomon. Solomon, the man who was full of riches. He says it's vanity. It is empty. It is nothing. Dear friends, we can see the thoughts of God and the thoughts of man are contrary one to another. How man thinks, how God thinks. Totally different. Around Christmas period, there's a lot of feasting. And I want to say before we move on, there's good feasting and there's bad feasting. You see that in the Bible. There's feasting to do with nothing but wickedness and nothing with sin. But then there's feasting that is good. And I'm sure that's the way most of us have had our Christmas period. Feasting that was good and proper with our family and time with our families. But here we come to this text, and who would believe such a word? It says it is better. And remember, this is God's word. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Now, this is God's word. This is the message of God to all of our hearts. And we've all had our feasting. Some perhaps in the congregation has their feasting in the world of sin in the last couple of nights. But here's what God says. It is better. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. And how and why can God say such a thing? Why is it better to go to the house of mourning? The word mourning actually means the house of lamentation. Man is weeping, and there's tears, and there's sorrow. And God says it's far, far better for that man or that woman, that young person, to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Now, which one of us would have thought that up? Not one of us. But it is God's word to all of our hearts tonight. Could I say that the confrontation is better in the house of mourning? When a man enters the house of mourning, he is confronted with something. And I say to you tonight, he is confronted with something that impresses his heart. He has come face to face with death. As he enters into that home, as he sits in the house of mourning, there's one subject has been brought to his attention. It is death. Death has come. Maybe it is a loved one has been taken away. Maybe it has been a close friend. Maybe it has been a neighbor. Maybe it has been a workmate. But he's in the house of mourning, and he's confronted with death. He's confronted with the certainty of death. Because you can see there in verse 2, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Listen, for that is the end of all men. Not just some men, my friends, tonight. Not just half of this people in the world, but that it says here, it is the end of all men. And he comes into this house of mourning and he sits down in this place. And all around him is death. And he's face to face with death, with the very certainty of death. But this is the end of all men. He's only entered in. He has only sat down in this house of mourning. And boys, it hits his heart. One day I will die. One day it will be my death. One day it will be my wake. One day it will be my funeral. He's in the house of mourning. He's faced with the certainty of death. The Bible, of course, tells us that over and over again in Job 14, verse 10. But man dieth and wasteth away. Ye man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? And Paul, writing in the book of Hebrews 9, and verse 27, he says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And he tells us about God's calendar of death, and your name is upon it, the day, the date, the time, and the place that you're going to die. And on saved, you can thank God that it hasn't been in the year past. It hasn't been. You're still in the land of the living. You can still come to this place tonight and to hear the Word of God, an opportunity of trusting Christ. And you can thank God that God's day of your death has not taken place. But maybe it's next year. Ah, friends, can I say this to you? Maybe it's before the end of this year. We've only a few days left. I've had a Christmas time with our family. A few more days and this year is gone. Maybe you'll be gone before the end of the year. God knows. And this man goes into the house of mourning, and he's brought face to face with the certainty of death. Ecclesiastes 3 and the verse, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, he says, and a time to die. There's a time to be brought into this world. There's a time to live. But listen, my friends, there's a time to die. There's a time that you will be taken out of this scene of time. Because sin is brought into this world, the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And God tells us why. Why is it we're going to die? Why is it we're going to be taken away from our families? Why is it we're going to be taken out of this place? Because all have sinned. And friend, there's a death sentence upon all of us. The man goes into the house of mourning. He's brought face to face. This is the end, he says. This here is the end of all men. He looks around him. He sees nothing but death. He may see the body in the coffin. He may see the coffin sitting in the corner. Whatever it may be. But friends, he's brought face to face with death that he will die. And the evidence is all around him in the home. And friends, so it is with you and I. We're going to die. We know not when, of course. Matthew Henry says, what is a lot of others will be ours. The cup is going round, and it will come to our turn to pledge it shortly. And you know that is true. We're going to awake, and the cup's going round. And one day it will stop with you. One day it will stop with me, you see. Oh, friends, in the house of mourning, he's brought face to face with the certainty of death. But I want to say to you, in feasting, now I'm looking at feasting tonight, in the evil side of feasting, living in the world and living in the pleasures of the world and living for sin tonight, in that house of feasting, it is so different. What is he confronted with? He's confronted with life. He's confronted in the house of feasting with laughter. He's confronted with sin, with food, the noise. He has no time to think about death. He has no time to think about these things. No, not at all. He's thinking about life. He's thinking about pleasure. He's thinking about, friends, sin, what he can get out of this place. You see, over there in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to a thousand of his lords, and drank wine before the thousand. Man, the party's going in this place. They have no thought of death. They have no thought of their soul. They have no thought of eternity. No, dear friends, they're drinking, and they're laughing, and they're blaspheming, and they're sinning against God. Far better to be in the house of mourning than such a place. And maybe, dear friends, some in our congregation has been in such a place over the last couple of nights. There's a great increase in sin around Christmas period. Nothing to do with Christ at all. There's an increase in drinking and immorality. That's the way it is with the world. We're talking about the worldly tonight. They all see it. They're running after sin tonight. They're running after the pleasures of this world. And they're in the house of feasting. Our friends, they say to us, they would say to us tonight, it's wonderful to be in these places. All the fun and the pleasure we have all with our friends. It's a wonderful thing to be in the house of feasting. You don't know what you're missing. That's a lie. You see, friends, God says, better go to the house of mourning. There he goes in into quietness. There he goes in, friends, there's a stillness in that place. He's brought face to face with the certainty of death. And the solemnity of death also is brought before him. You see, it is a house of mourning. As I said, the word mourning means lamentation. He's brought face to face with sorrow. That's what he's brought face to face with the broken hearts, and there are people he knows, and there's tears, and their hearts are broken, and people's holding on, and they're weeping together. Their hearts have been broken, and there's tears, and there's sadness in the house of mourning. An awful thing when someone loses someone they love to death. That's why you read in the Bible, of Genesis 23 in verse 2, about Sarah, that she died. And it says at the end of verse 2, and Abram came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. He was broken. The word weep, of course, means to make lamentation, or it means to bewail. He was crying. His heart was broken. He had lost the woman that he loved. He had lost Sarah, and he came and he wept and he lamented. He's in the house of mourning. And friends, there's nothing but sadness and tears in this house. And you can find the same of Jacob. Of Joseph when Jacob died in Genesis 50 verse 1 to 3 and about how Joseph fell on his father's face and how when he died it says there that the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. For 70 days this house of mourning. There was this weeping, there was this sorrow. You see, death brings forth sorrow. And when a man goes, when he goes into the house of mourning, he's brought face to face with the certainty of death, with the solemnity of death. There's sorrow. But look at verse 3 of our passage in Ecclesiastes 7. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. God is telling us here about sorrow. Far, far better for that man. Far better for that woman when they go to the house of mourning and they're brought face to face with sorrow, with all of these tears and heartache. Far better for them. You see, it says about the heart is made better. You know, the heart can be broken in the house of mourning. Many a person has sought the Lord in the house of mourning. God's word can be shut out in the house of feasting, but it can be heard in a whisper. In the house of mourning. In the house of feasting, there's laughter. There's noise. There's singing. There's shouting. Friend, it is so unreal. Just like a bubble, one prick and it is gone. The Bible says in chapter, verse 6 of this chapter, the laughter of a fool. It's only a foolish laughter. In chapter 2 and verse 2 of this book, I said of laughter, it is mad. That's only madness in the house of feasting. This laughter. But all friends are so different with sorrow. You see, he's faced with the solemnity of death, sorrow. God says, far better to go there. Imagine tonight an invitation for you. So I have an invitation to a party, or an invitation to a funeral, an invitation to a wake. Now, which one do you want to go to? I want you to sign at the back of the table. Put your name down. Who wants to go to the wake? Who wants to go to the party? A lot of people in the world will put down and want to go to the party. But that's where we'd be wrong. Friends, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, because of the confrontation, confronted with death. We're going to die. And maybe some tonight's living in the world and living in sin tonight before God. Far better to go to the house of mourning. Oh, you're brought face to face with the certainty, oh, the solemnity of death, that we will die and you will die someday. And we're all going to die. We need to be prepared. We need to have Christ as our Savior. So the confrontation is better. Confront it with death. But could I say this? The company is better in the house of mourning. As you look at verse 4, it says, the heart of the wise, where is he? In the house of the mourning. But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth, you see. It is better to go to the house of mourning here because the company is better. The heart of the wise is in there. Their conduct is better. He's a wise man, you see. Now, of course, it's talking about a wake that is proper and right here. Because there are many wakes that is not proper and right. There's many wakes that's nearly like parties and it's been drinking, it's been made at a house of feasting. We're not referring to that. We're talking about the proper wake. The proper way of mourning. And the conduct is better. Because the wise man, he's in the house of mourning. His conduct is better. He is not foolish in his actions or his attitude. Not all, dear friends. He is a wise man. In Proverbs 10 verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments. He is obeying God. He is loving God. He is not in the world. He is not foolish. He is not filthy. He is not running after the pleasures of the world. He is not frivolous. In other words, he is solemn and sincere. He doesn't make light of death. He doesn't laugh about the soul. He's not making jokes about eternity. He's not making jokes about hell. No, no, friends. He's solemn. He's sincere. He's in the house of mourning. Many joke. Many laugh about hell. Many jokes there are about death. And you'll hear them all. And you'll hear them all, friends, in the house of feasting. But, oh, dear friends, in the house of mourning, the company's better. The wise man is in the house of mourning. But look at who's in the house of feasting. Verse 4. Fools. Fools. That's who's in it. Their whole attitude to the world and to sin is foolish. Their whole action is foolish. In Proverbs 14 and verse 9 it says, fools make a mock at sin. Man, they laugh at sin. They make a mock of it. They laugh and joke and make filthy jokes about all of these things. Oh, friends, everything about them is foolish. Foolish in his words. He says, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, life is too short. Don't be worrying about your soul. Don't be worrying about death. Don't worry about God. Oh, you have no time for those things. Let's enjoy life. Let's do these things together. Let's not be solemn. Let's not be serious. Oh, dear friends, eat, drink, and be merry. That's our message. But remember this, when you hear such words, John said, you're in the house of fools. Only fools. And maybe there's their denial as well, not only their deeds. Because maybe they say in Proverbs or Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Imagine. I have no doubt tonight if you could visit the pubs of this town, which we'll not do, of course, but if he went in, there'd be some people in the house of feasting, and they'll hit the counter of the bar, and they'll say, there's no God. There's no God. Man is no soul. There's no eternity. There's no heaven. There's no hell. Now, no doubt about it, you'll hear it in bars tonight. You'll hear it in the house of feasting. But they're only fools, aren't they? That's the foolish conversation of them. Their deeds, their denials, their desires is just sin and wickedness. In Proverbs 10 and verse 23, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief. He just wants sin and mischief all the time, friends. He's foolish in his behavior. He's foolish in his belief, you see. There he is. The fools are in the house of feasting. So who you're with? The who you're with on saved? Not just over the Christmas period, but we remember the birth of Christ coming into this world. So maybe he's been in the world, the discos and the dances, the pubs and clubs of this world. Well, remember this. You've been in the places where the fools go. That's what God says. But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. All the laughter. All the sin. Friends, it's only the house of fools. But it's far better to go, far better to be in the house of mourning. The wise man is there. But oh, the foolish man, he is in the house of feasting. Not only the company, but the conversation is better. You know what it says in verse 5? It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. In the house of mourning, he's going to hear a message. Hey, listen, it's not going to be a joke. It's not going to be something that will make him laugh with tears of joy running down his face. No, it tells us here about the conversation here in the house of mourning. It tells us it is a word of rebuke. He rebukes the person about their lifestyle, about coming to Christ that they might be saved. Oh, dear friends, it says it's better to go into that way and to sit down with a man of God, and he confronts you with the gospel, and he tells you about Christ and his love and how he can save you, and to exhort you to turn from your sin. Oh, he may rebuke you. You're living a foolish life. You're doing foolish things. But it's far better to hear that. Far better to hear that than to hear the song of fools. Man, he's singing with all his heart. Far better to be rebuked. Far better to come to church tonight to be rebuked about the life you're living. Living without Christ, without God, and without hope, than to hear the song of fools. Better to listen to the words of the wise than the laughter of the fools. Look how their laughter is described in verse 6. For as the cracking of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. This also is vanity. You know, it's sound. It's like the crackling under a pot in the fire. It is short. It comes, dear friends, and it goes burnt up and it is gone. And he says, this wise man, all is vanity. Oh, it is far, far better to go to the house of mourning, not the house of feasting. Because of the company, the conduct, the conversation is far better. Far better to go there. And we have had our feasting, and no doubt over the last couple of days with our family, and I trust good feasting and fellowship and time together. Nothing wrong with that at all. But there may be some in the congregation living for the world. Oh, they're planning out already. New Year's Eve, it's usually the next big night. We'll get to the world. We'll get to the house of feasting. We'll get the booze, we'll get the sin, we'll get the laughter, we'll get the crowd, and it's all foolishness. Far better to go to a wake than go to the house of feasting, because the company's far better. Far better sitting down with a wise man in the quiet, all their sadness in the home, I've no doubt about that. Far better to go to that place than to sit down with the fools in the house of feasting. The people in the house of feasting will take you to hell. That's where they'll take you. Are you following the crowd tonight unsaved in this meeting? Are you following the ways of the world tonight? Where are they leading you to? They're going to take you down and down and down into the caverns of the town, and you'll be lost for all eternity. And friends, you'll weep for all eternity. And that's why you need Christ to be your Savior. The conclusion is better, because it says in end of verse 2, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. You see the conclusion of it, the third thing? He would lay it to his heart. He has been in the house of mourning. He has learned great lessons in it.
He has learned he is going to die. He has learned in the house of mourning from the words of the wise man, I am going to meet God. I need to prepare to meet God. I need to be saved. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior. He has learned this in the house of mourning. He would lay it to his heart. I will leave this world. I will be taken away from my family. I am going to die. I need to be saved. I need Jesus. I need Him to be my Savior. Well, he will lay it to his heart. That he must repent and trust Christ as his Savior. But no one else can save him. We remember that Christ came into the world at this time of the year. Christ was born at Bethlehem. He came into the world to save us. And to die that we might live. And to shed His blood to put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And there's no other Savior. No other Savior but Christ. And this man, he can leave the house of mourning with these things upon his heart. I need Christ. I need to prepare. I need to be saved. Life is short. I could die at any moment. I know not the day of my death. I need Jesus Christ to save me. I need Jesus Christ to save me. And I need Him now to save me. He will lay it to his heart. But our friends, the conclusion of the time in the house of feasting is so different. Go up the street till you watch them coming out of the house of feasting. The immorality, the blasphemy, the wickedness and sin, the drunkenness on our streets. They don't think about Christ. They don't think about their soul. They don't think, my friends, about salvation. No, dear friends, they come out and they're thinking about the next party, the next night of sin, the next life of wickedness. Where will it be? Where will we go to? They see them coming out, all friends. They don't know their danger. The danger of being in the house of feasting. Where was the world when Noah entered into the ark? They're in the house of feasting. Where were the Israelites during the plague which came and smote them? It says when the flesh was yet between their teeth, God smote them. Where were Job's sons and daughters when the great wind came from the wilderness? They were in the house of feasting. Where was Solomon? When he lost his strength and he lost out with God, where was he? In the house of feasting and pleasure. Is that where you are tonight? Are you in the house of feasting? Are you in the house of sin? Are you in the house of wickedness? Far better to go to the house of mourning. It'll do you more good. Oh, dear friends, the way of the wicked will perish. There's a lot of us here tonight who once lived in the house of feasting and wickedness. But we met a great Savior, Jesus Christ, who saved the very uttermost. And I said to you tonight, as we consider Christ tonight and His coming into the world, that He can save you. All you do is run to the house of feasting. All you do is running after sin tonight. All you are tonight, my friend, is heading with that company that's held in chains of sin and darkness and will perish forever. But Christ can save you tonight. At the end of this year, and you may have sat and listened to many sermons from this pulpit the whole year, and tonight you're not saved. But Christ can save you tonight. He can set you free from the house of feasting. There are people tonight chained to sin and to booze and everything that goes with it tonight in this world. But I'm glad tonight Christ can save them. He can set them free. And He can save you tonight. He is a Savior who came into the world to save us. It's far better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Far better to sit with the wise than with the fools. Far better to prepare for eternity instead of ignoring eternity, ignoring your responsibility. And there may be some in the meeting tonight and you say, I know I should come to Christ. I know I should trust Him. But friends, you've never come to Christ. You've never repented from your sin. Why not? Why not come tonight and trust Him? And He will save you. And He will give you everlasting life. And then you'll truly be in the good house of feasting. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You'll be feasting on Christ. None but Christ can satisfy, the hymn says. There's no other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee. May the Lord save you tonight. If I can help you, speak with me as you leave the meeting. And prepare for eternity. Are you prepared for death? Are you prepared to meet God, my friends? You need to prepare. And you need to prepare tonight. Just come as a sinner to Christ. And He will save you. And give you everlasting life. May God write His word upon all of our hearts. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Your presence. Thank You, Lord, for Your help. We pray You've spoken to us. And for those who are in the house of feast in this Christmas period, even throughout the years, Lord, have been in the dens of iniquity, that You'll turn their feet to Christ and to righteousness. We pray You'll speak to them. We pray they'll not hear the preacher's voice, but they'll hear Yours and they'll come and trust Thee. We thank You for Your care of this congregation, Lord, the whole year over. We pray You'll watch over the remainder of this year. Watch over all our young people. Keep them from wickedness and sin. We pray that You call those who's not saved to Yourself. And they end this year, Lord, with Christ. And begin a new year with Christ. Speak to them by Thy mercy. We pray You take us our separate ways now. Take us, Lord, to homes and safety. We pray in Jesus' great name. Amen.